Microphone. Yes.
In the translation, it is said that when chanting the names of Krishna, there are offenses to be considered. But when chanting the names of Nita and Chaitanya, there is no consideration of offenses. So regarding these offenses, there are 10 offenses listed that are to be considered when chanting the names of Krishna. And one of them is blaspheming the Vaishnavas, which is very, very serious offense. But again, it says that when chanting the names of Nita and Chaitanya, there are no offenses to be considered. So it includes all the 10 offenses that they are not considered.
Yes, chanting the names. The evidence is given right in the song. Oh, such a merciful personality as Nityananda Prabhu is not to be found anywhere. He suffers a beating from Jagai and Madai and still gives them love of God. So this was a serious offense that Madai hit Lord Nityananda on the head with a pot. And they said all kinds of blasphemy to Lord Nityananda. But he didn't accept it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the spot to annihilate them, because he was so angry, Nityananda himself forbade him and said, this will ruin your whole mission. You've come here to save the most fallen. And here they are. So here's the chance. Nityananda opened the door for this great mercy, so he didn't even consider it. And therefore, we say that the offenses don't apply in the chanting of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Yeah, but we can make a, we can say that, because he didn't consider the offense because it was against him. But if the offenses are done against the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and Nitai, not against them directly, even then also they
Lord Nityananda is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay, but at the time, Lord Nityananda, he forgave because the offense was done against him, but Lord Mahaprabhu, he was not ready to forgive. So but that says that,
So they come together. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito, Goda Dai Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamonudo. They have risen simultaneously on the horizon of Gota to dissipate the darkness and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. And so Prabhupada therefore mentions when we're before we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we should say Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. And this will clear our path to chanting Hare Krishna perfectly. So let your mind dance in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. You see, when you go in Sankirtan, this is your representing Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, and door to door, place to place. And you find that people, even if they're a little offensive, because of their contact with Chaitanya Nitai's representative, gradually even they become devotees of the Lord. My godbrother Ruchi Prabhu, who passed away a few years ago, became a devotee by throwing rocks at the Los Angeles temple. Of course, the temple president, Keshava, chased him down and beat him up, and then he really respected the devotees after that, and he came and joined. So many examples of people who were offensive, but Chaitanya Nitai accepted them anyway. So we should take shelter of Chaitanya Nitai and their great mercy, give it to others. So we're going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And today I think we're on, what text, Karunath Prabhu, 37? 37. And we'll stop today early. This morning we're doing a class for newcomers. And it's an ongoing program that we have to follow up from our Sankirtan. So when we go on Sankirtan, we meet people who are interested in Krishna consciousness, and then we have somewhere to invite them so they get a first-time experience of devotional service. And this morning we'll be having such a program for some newcomers. We have about 15 people who have RSVP'd. Has it increased from there? Still 15? Okay, we'll see if they're good for that. And if not, we'll sit there and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No problem. So we're on text number 37 in the orange book. It's page 61. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. You know, we're divine Saraswati we're worshipping in this verse. I was talking to the great pundit, Sri Mukunda Datto, when I was in Los Angeles. We had some hearing chanting sessions together in Prabhupada's garden. And he was telling me about something very interesting in the Shastra that answers a question that your godbrother, who's now in Seattle or Oregon. No, he came down here when Maharaj was here to help with the programs. Shamlila. He was asking this question about a year and a half ago. And now I'll just give him the answer in case he's listening. In the Brahma Samhita, it's mentioned how divine Saraswati had appeared before Brahma and given him the mantra. So he was asking at the time, well, isn't Saraswati a demigoddess from the material world and such? So Sri Mukunda Datta was telling me about how all of the demigods, like Saraswati and Ganesh, they have a divine counterpart also in the spiritual world. So this is not ordinary Saraswati, but is Divya Saraswati. And we're worshipping that particular divine aspect of Saraswati. So that goes out to... yes. Shamlila. Tamayam manyate loko. Yasangam api sanginam. Atmau pam yena manujam. Vyaprinvanam yato buddha. Tam ayam manyate loko. Yasangam api sanginam. Atmau pamyena manujam. Vyaprinvanam yato buddha. Well done. Tam ayam manyate loko. Yasangam api sanginam. Atmau pamyena manujam. Vyaprinvanam yato buddha. Tam ayam manyate loko. Yasangam api sanginam. Atmau pamyena manujam. Vyaprinvanam yato buddha. Tam ayam manyate loko. Yasangam api sanginam. Atmau pamyena manujam. Vyaprinvanam yato buddha. Tam ayam manyate loko. Yasangam api sanginam. Atmau pamyena manujam. Vyaprinvanam yato buddha. Tamayam manyate loko. Yasangam api sanginam. Atmaupam yena marujam Vyaprinvanam yato buddhaha Tamayam manyate loko Hyasangam apisanginam Atmaupam yena manujam Vyaprinvanam yato buddhaha Tam unto Lord Krishna. Ayam, all these common men, manyate, do speculate within the mind. Lokaha, the conditioned souls. He, certainly, asangam, unattached. Api, in spite of. Sanginam, affected. Atma, self. Aupamyena, by comparison with the self. Manujam, ordinary man. Vyaprinvanam, being engaged in. Yataha, because. Abuddha, foolish because of ignorance. Translation. The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although he is unaffected. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word abuddha is significant here. Due to ignorance only, the foolish mundane wranglers misunderstand the Supreme Lord and spread their foolish imaginations amongst innocent persons by propaganda. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the original primeval personality of Godhead. And when he was personally present before the eyes of everyone, he displayed full-fledged divine potency in every field of activities. As we have already explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is completely independent to act however he likes. But all his actions are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Only the foolish mundaners misunderstand him, unaware of his eternal form of knowledge and bliss, which is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads. His different potencies work in a different plan of natural sequence, in a perfect plan of natural sequence. And doing everything by the agency of his different potencies, he remains eternally the supreme independent. When he descends on the material world by his causeless mercy to different living beings, he does so by his own potency. He is not subject to any condition of the material modes of nature, and he descends as he is originally. The mental speculators misunderstand him as the supreme person, and they consider his impersonal features as inexplicable Brahman to be all. Such a conception is also the product of conditioned life because they cannot go beyond their own personal capacity. Therefore, one who considers the Lord on the level of one's limited potency is only a common man. Such a man cannot be convinced that the personality of Godhead is always unaffected by the modes of material nature. He cannot understand that the sun is always unaffected by infectious matter. The mental speculators compare everything from the standpoint of experimental knowledge of their own selves. Thus, when the Lord is found to act like an ordinary person in matrimonial bondage, they consider him to be like one of them, without considering that the Lord can at once marry 16,000 wives or more. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they accept one side of the picture while disbelieving the other. This means that due to ignorance only, they always think of Lord Krishna as like themselves and make their own conclusions, which are absurd and unauthentic from the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll sing Mangalacharna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Haya Tamayam Manyate Loko Yasangam Api Sanginam Atmau Pamyena Manujam Vyaprinvanam Yato Buddha. The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although he is unattached. Abuddha is significant in this verse because it's ignorance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this ignorance is the enemy of the soul since a time immemorial in the material world, and it's symptom is engagement in fruitive work and sense gratification, which is the retrograde activity of the soul, keeping him bound in ignorance more and more. So, Krishna is independent and he's not bound by the material world. He's full of bliss and knowledge. And this is all confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads. Avyaktim vyaktim apanam manyate mama buddhaya param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. Krishna says that foolish people think that originally I'm impersonal and then I assume this form and personality. And he says, but that's not the situation. Naham prakashya sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudhoyam nabijananti lokamama jamavyayam. That's the foolish people. They can't understand my transcendental nature. Naham prakashya sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. They're covered by this potency called yogamaya, which we discussed in the last week or so about why Krishna uses this term yogamaya, because that's his original internal potency, but yogamaya also expands herself into mahamaya interchangeably according to the a necessity, just as I have in the little room I live in at home, I have a heater cooler. It's made in Japan. And if you push one button, heat comes out. You switch the other button, and the cold comes out. It's amazing. Same electricity going through, same fan running outside, but heat, cold, you can just switch the button. So similarly, maya, yoga, maya, interchangeable according to the necessity. And Krishna comes to the material world by his causeless mercy to different living beings, and he does so by his own potency. So we heard just on Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day, my godbrother Srila was giving a very nice talk, and he was speaking about the one of the Buddhist doctrines of, what is it called? Divine, absolute divine grace. How everything comes from divine grace. And there are two terms in Japanese, hridiki and jidiki. And one of them means by your own effort, and the other means by grace, that something comes. So bhakti and the personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the object of our bhakti, cannot be understood by our own efforts. Rather, Krishna reveals himself to us because of our devotion. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayamindriyai Sevan Mukhi Hijivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. That when we do seva, and Krishna becomes pleased with us for our devotional service, then he reveals himself. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medaya na bahuna shutena. You can't attain it by being a great speaker, or by being a great thinker, or by being a great yogi. But Krishna decides himself. He's independent, and he can reveal himself to whomever he likes. In fact, Srila was telling me on the way out the door of a verse from the Mukunda Mala Stotra that says that bhakti is unpredictable. Isn't sometimes we get in this discussion of causeless devotional service. Where does bhakti actually come from, and how does she enter into our lives? It's kind of a mystery, because just as the Lord's independent, so similarly bhakti is independent too, where she decides to go. But she's very generous, and she'll go here, there, and everywhere. But someone who attains bhakti is fortunate. That fortune has been bestowed on that person from above. But those who are mental speculators come to the ultimate conclusion of impersonal Brahman, because that's as far as you can go when you're speculating to try to understand the absolute truth. Understanding the personality of God is not possible unless one receives the association and mercy of a pure devotee. Pure devotees know Krishna. You know, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Yam shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. They see Krishna within their heart, and they do so because they have love for Krishna. Their eyes are smeared with the salve of love. And through such association, one can also understand the personality of Godhead, and not otherwise. So it's a descending process. The Lord appears to act like an ordinary person in matrimonial bondage, but do people who consider that it's an ordinary activity of the Lord, also consider that he married 16,108 wives? I mean, there are some histories where some kings married multiple wives, but not like Krishna. Married 16,108 wives, and he had a palace for each one of them. And when Narada Muni went around to each palace, he found that Krishna was performing a different pastime in each palace with his wife and family. And he was amazed as he went from one to the next. When one place he saw Krishna was acting like a horse and one of his children was riding on his back. At another place he was planning strategy with some of his ministers. And another place he was being fanned by the wives and being catered to. And each place he was amazed to see how the Lord had expanded himself and was being waited on and served, or that he was reciprocating with his devotees. This cannot be imitated by any mundane person. And Prabhupada points out that in Kali Yuga, people can barely maintain one wife, or even a small family. It's very difficult. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he reveals himself in this world. He comes here from time to time just to show himself. And when he shows himself, devotees realize his pastimes. Ananda chinmaya rasat mataya manasu ya praninam pratipalam smarutam upetya lilayitena bhuvanani jayat yajastram govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. His lila, his pastimes, are victorious in this world because they surpass the laws of material nature. Lord Boar appeared out of the nostril of Lord Brahma. He was just sitting there hoping for the Lord's special mercy. It's hard, you know. Brahma has a hard job. He's an administrator. And I'm coming to learn what a hard job that is. I never did any administration in my whole life. And now I'm right in the middle of it all. And it's really hard. I didn't have a care in the world my whole devotional career. I just go on Sankirtan and I didn't care what happened else after that. It wasn't up to me. It's much easier being a foot soldier. And I see Brahma is always in anxiety because there's demons and there's difficulties and there's, you know, there's things you got to pay off and all kinds of stuff. So every once in a while he goes to Krishna and says, "Help!" And then Krishna appears, like he appeared out of the nostril of Lord Brahma when he was praying for help. And he flew out. Who could have imagined, you know, how Krishna is enjoying also as a transcendental hog. And, you know, it just kind of whimsically comes out of the nostril of Lord Brahma and then expands himself into a huge form, is flying around in the sky. And all the sages are looking and say, "It's Vishnu, he's come again in another form." And it's not ordinary, though. When he comes close to earth and he shakes his body, any of the, you know, like hogs, if you've ever seen hogs, sometimes they shake themselves. And, you know, any of those thick hairs on the body of the Lord that came off, they became kusha grass, all auspicious. And the water that came from that was like the most purifying, sanctifying water. So everything about the body of the Lord, everything about the persona of the Lord is all auspicious. Anyone who sees him, anyone who hears him, anyone who hears somebody talk about seeing him becomes purified because the Lord's transcendental and all purifying. So he comes, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Yuga after yuga after yuga, he appears in the world to uplift the sadhus, those who are sincere and who are seeking him. He comes to show himself and give us our object of meditation so we can think about him and remember his pastimes and his leelas. And he also cuts down the irreligious elements, kills the demons, reestablishes the religious principles so that everyone can benefit from their life in this world. So this is yoga. Yoga means huge. It means to connect with Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes many different kinds of yoga, ways to connect with Krishna. And it's based on adhikari. Adhikari means qualification. People have different qualifications to take to different kinds of yoga. And adhikari for instance, karma yoga is that one must be at least in rajogun. It's an elevated state, actually, rajogun, because then you can actually work for Krishna. Working, everyone does, but working and surrendering the fruits of one's labor, that's actually elevated. In fact, even if someone follows karmakanda, that's elevated. What is the verse from Nectar of Instruction, the penultimate verse? Nectar of Instruction, penultimate verse. It says that penultimate means second to the last. Karmi bhya, na karmi bhya parito hare priyata ya vyaktim ya yurgyaninas. Tebyo gyani vimukta bhakti parama premaika nishtastata. Tebyo sta pashupala punka jadishasta bhyo pisiradika. Preshtasta yam tadiya sarasi tam nashayat ka kritihi. So there's a list given of people who are elevated, or in a list of gradations. So karmi bhya. So the karmis. Karmis means really those who work according to the Vedas. There are ritualistic activities in the Vedas for elevation to higher planets. And sometimes we look down on that. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "What is the use of all this? Chinye punye marty lokam vishanti evam trai dharmam anu prapana gata gata kama kama labante." The people who are working for these fruit of results according to the Vedas, who attain the higher planets, they use up all their pious credits and then they fall back down again repeatedly, going through this kind of activity. But in this verse, karmi bhya parito hare, they're counted, the karmis. And in the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada says that actually the karmis are glorious. Why? Because they're following the Vedic system. They have some connection to the system, which is given in the Vedas for elevating oneself materially, and they're not doing it whimsically. And therefore, there is some they do have some success in purification of that. And then those ya karoshiya rashnashiya johosi dadasiya ya tapasyasi konteya tat kurushva mararpanam, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away should be done as an offering unto me, Krishna says. So there are those who come to this very elevated position where they begin to give away that or do everything as an offering unto Krishna. And then there's nishkama karma yoga, acting in devotional service, but renouncing all the fruits altogether, not even considering what kind of work one is doing. In the beginning of the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about this to Arjuna. He said that this path of working in devotional service and surrendering the fruits is extremely powerful. It leads one to the higher position of life. What is it? Go a little further, maybe 5.4. The karma. Sarva karmani manasa, sanyas yaste sukham vishi, nava dwari pure dehi, naiva kurvan, no, wait. Naiva kurvan nakarayan, is that it? No, no. This verse is. Sarva karmani manasa sanyas yaste sukham vashi nava dware pure dehi. Huh? Naiva kuryanna karma. So that means na. Let me see it. I got to get it stuck in my mind. Naiva kurvan nakarayan. Yeah, so kurvan and karayan both come from the root word kri, which means work or activity. Same as where karma. So. That means that a person who has renounced in his mind all activities, doesn't mean he's not working, but he's renouncing the fruits of all that within his mind. That person doesn't cause work to be done, and he is and is not working also because he's renouncing within his mind. Elevated position of living in this world. And yes. Sarva karmani manasa sanyas yaste sukambashi. Yes, then the person, sukambashi means that he happily resides within the body. Vashi means he can sit down. So actually we're sitting in this body right now. And you can happily do so when you give up the fruits. Mentally, you're giving up the fruits. Sarva karmani manasa. With the mind, you're renouncing all that. Sannyasyasi sukambashi. He sits down in the body, sukam, happily. Nava dwari pure dehi. So the pura, or the city, is being compared by Krishna to a city of nine gates. Nava dware. So it has nine gates, and we're sitting in this city of nine gates, and you can happily do that if you're renouncing the fruits of activity while you're living in this body, neither working nor causing work to be done. Go ahead.
So, based on what you said right now, in this world, if we don't think about the fruits, there is actually no driving force. So yeah. How is it actually possible to attain that state of being passionate but also doing it in a renounced manner?
Through sambandha gyan. Sambandha gyan means understanding who it actually belongs to. And when you see our relationship with the world and who owns the world, Krishna says in the last verse of the fifth chapter, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richiti. If you, Gyatva, if you know these things, that Krishna owns everything, that he's the best friend of everyone, and he's the actual enjoyer, then you enjoy by giving to Krishna. And therefore, you don't even want to touch the fruit, because it's not for you. Krishna says, keep these things, these ideas for enjoying these things far away from you. He says that in the second chapter. That keep them far away, the desire to enjoy the fruits of your work, because such thing is abominable, actually. It binds us to the material world. And for a person who's in knowledge, who actually sees his relationship spiritually to Krishna, that he's the servant and Krishna is the master, it's no longer a matter of restraint, but the person is being fed by feeding Krishna. Therefore, we have fire yagyas sometimes because we can't see with our eyes a lot how Krishna's eating. We make offerings to Krishna and he's looking at the food. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashanti panti kalyanti chiram jaganti. He can eat with his eyes. So we just put the food in front of him, ring the bell, says, Krishna, here's... He looks at it and he's eating it. But we can't always see that. We can taste it later, Krishna Bela. So then we have these fire yagyas, and the flame is also the tongue of Vishnu. And then we can see it. The grains are going in there and he's actually eating it all. And so we can visualize that. And when we feed Krishna, we become fed. The devotee who's experiencing that, the fact that the more I feed the Krishna, the more I become fed, out of self-interest, real self-interest, he becomes greedy to feed Krishna more and more and more. And so it's the business of the devotees in Vrindavan and Vraja. They have this compulsion for feeding Krishna all the time. They're always feeding him. He gets chubby. And they feed him and feed him and feed him and feed him. And he can eat and eat and eat and eat. And the more he eats, the more they become happy and satisfied. So that's our real business in life. And when we get reversed and we think, I'm the eater, I'm the enjoyer, then we can't digest it. And it becomes problematic for us. And we take on all the karma and all the result of the things that we're taking. But a devotee is actually in knowledge. Knows that my real self-interest is in feeding Krishna and giving everything to Krishna. He feels satisfied in that way. It's real.
So he is not attached to the fruits of the results, but he's still working. Because Krishna says later on that inertia or not working is not something he recommends. An example has to be set for others, he says. So people have to be working, but work in an unattached way, offer the fruits of the results to me and dedicate all your activities to me. That verse, I believe it was 5:4 or 1 that was read, kind of gives the impression of not working. He's renounced but not working. But there is a subtlety there in which Krishna says that... abstaining from work is not what I'm recommending. The person is working, but is not attached and is offering the fruits away. So the motivation may come from the fact that we are working for him to offer everything to him, and in the process we ourselves are getting some of the fruits.
Absolutely. And in the beginning of that third chapter, before he comes to the other verses that you mentioned, Chikirshur Lokasangraham, that for showing the example to others, he says, "Jatu tishchatya karma krit." And not even for the twinkling of an eye can you stop working. You know, your mind and senses are constantly going and going and going. But tatvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matva nasajite. A person who is a tatvavit, he's gained knowledge, perfect knowledge. He knows that actually he's not the one who's engaging. And later in the fifth chapter, naiva kinchit karomi ti yukto manyita tatvavit pashan shrinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gashan swapan swasan palapan vishrinan grinnan unmishan nimishan api. Indriyan Indriyateshu Vartanta Iti Tarayan. Person in divine consciousness knows that even though he's moving about, eating, sleeping, breathing, accepting, opening and closing his eyes, evacuating, he knows that only the modes of material nature are active, and he actually does nothing at all.
Like you said, feeding Krishna, we can keep feeding all the time. Do you want to increase that feed? So is there any limitation or on how much rate we should increase the feeding Krishna?
Is there a limitation on how much to feed Krishna?
How much speedily we should feed Krishna?
How much what?
The rate at which.
Well, if you go to Vrindavan, the rate's so high that it's you walk through, when you start off on your parikram at Govardhan Hill, you'll go through Anior. That's Hare Krishna. If you start from Radhakund, a lot of devotees start at Radhakund. I always start at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram because that's where we live. That's about an hour up the road from Radhakund walking. So, but if you start at Radhakund, it'll take you an hour and 40 minutes to get to Anior walking. No, take you an hour. So you walk up from Radhakund, come up the road, and then you'll enter into this village named Anior. And Anior is the place where the devotees all came together, and because Krishna had manifested himself as Govardhan Hill, he became the hill, a gigantic form. He was so big, his teeth were so big, they had to use these big, huge sugarcane stalks so he could, after he ate, he cleaned his teeth with those picks. It's all described in the one of the Shastras by Jiva Goswami. And so during that pastime, the devotees were bringing him food because he kept asking for it. He said, Anior. And whenever they'd bring him food, he said, bring me more. And they were all cowering because they saw this gigantic form of Krishna had become the hill. And they were scared. And they said, bring me more. And so they'd run and they were cooking as fast as they could. And they kept bringing him more and more. There was puris and subjis and laddus and everything and rice and mounds. And pretty soon the whole village ran out. There's only so much rice in a village. And they were calling for more from other village, and he'd eat it all. And Anior, bring me more. This is pastime with the devotees in Vraj because he can take unlimitedly and they want to give unlimitedly. So more and more and more he took. And finally, Dauji, Balaram, saw what was going on. So he took a tulsi leaf and he went up and then he's satisfied, no problem. But I've seen that some of the devotees, the local devotees there, the Rajabasis, when they have a little Govardhan Shila, I saw one woman in her house, they don't do all the special prayers and mudras and emphasis. She put a bowl of sweet rice down and she goes, eat. Now eat, I told you to eat. And eat a lot, walks out of the room. It's spontaneous devotional service in Vraja. It's compared to if a man's walking home from work one day and then the house is burning down somewhere along the street and he hears a child crying. So he doesn't think about it. He just runs and jumps through the window, saves the child, comes back out again. And then he's proclaimed the hero in the paper and said, how did you do it? What did you think? And I didn't think anything. I just, I heard the baby crying and saw the fire. I was overcome. I just swept away. I didn't think. I didn't calculate. I just ran in there, and I did it. So the devotees in Vraja, Dom, they're on such a high level of devotion spontaneously. Twai me ananya vishaya marum matir maru pate sakrit ratim udvahatad adha gange vaugam udanviti. It's just gange vaugam. It's such nice poetry. It says, when the Ganges overflows, and you can't stop it. It's just, get out of the way because it's coming. Like in Mayapur every year, during the rainy season, it just overflows. The building's there, the Ganges there, and it just comes up to the roof, and the devotees just move the deities up higher and, make do. You can't stop it. And the Ganges flows forever to the sea like that. You can dam it up, you can do whatever, but eventually it'll come through. So our devotion becomes like that by association with devotees who are like that. That's the kind of devotional service we're practicing, actually. It sounds funny that we're practicing that kind of devotion, but as I've said many times, because I like the phrase so much, Prabhupada said, it's a pushing process. You start the car, it has to be pushed at first, and then it can start. And then spontaneously, we become attracted. And there are many stimuli for that kind of attraction and that kind of love in the association of pure devotees, but going to the Dham, by coming to Mangalartik, by seeing the Lord and his flute. These are all stimuli for this kind of natural attraction. And even though we don't know it, as we're practicing this kind of sadhana bhakti, those things are having their effect. And they add up and add up and add up. And prabhude jnana bhaktivya mayana dichinmayi udaityuna tama bhaktir bhagavat prema lakshana. That prema will awaken in our hearts by this kind of practice, following the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And spontaneously it will come out at a natural time by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees and rendering service in a holy place like this, and going to the Dham and doing these other kinds of services of distributing Krishna consciousness to others, following the footsteps of the great souls. Then that natural devotional service will spontaneously emerge from the heart, because it's already there. It just needs to be reawakened. So this is why Krishna appears in this world, as this verse is pointing out. Materialistic conditioned souls, they have this quality of envy. They want to be the best. They want to be the boss. They want to be known as the number one person. Prabhupada said, if a bunch of people, materialistic people, get in one room, and there's some that are much more exalted and some that are lower, the ones on the lower position say, let's just all consider ourselves the same. And then he said, in a village there were three friends, and one of them grew up and became a high court judge, and they hadn't seen each other for 20 years. And so two of the friends who weren't high court judges got together, and one of them was saying, did you hear about Dilip? He became a high court judge. And the friend said, impossible. Not Dilip. He couldn't become a high court judge. And he said, no, I saw him. I was at the courthouse. He's there. He's got the robe on. He's got the mallet and everything. He's a high court judge. He's got everything. He's even, you know, barristers there, everything. And the friend said, all right, but he's probably not getting paid. So everyone wants to, like, you know, equalize, pull everyone down to my level. And they do what the Supreme Personality of Godhead too. He comes and he shows his pastimes, and then the ignorant person, shvavid vada hoshcha karai, samstata parashapushu, nayat karnapato peto jatu nama gadagraja. Heavy words from Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Men who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Praise those men who never listen to the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who wants to hang out with them? Not devotees. Devotees want to be anywhere where this transcendental sound vibration is going on, describing Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't even care where it is. It could be in the back of a van. It can be in the top of a mountain, or it can be in the middle of a city. But as long as that vibration about Uttama Shloka is going on, devotees want to be there because they're drinking in that nectar of their ears. There's no limit to how much nectar we can drink hearing about the personality of Godhead. His glories are unlimited. And so this is the preoccupation of the devotee. Machitta makata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nitya tu shanti cha ramanticha. They want that kata. My friend, my godbrother Guru Kripa, he pronounces things in a certain way, and he says Krishna katha or something like that. But it always sounds, when he says it, it sounds so nice to me. It sounds like a drink or something. Like, I want some of that drink. You know, he's like, you got to get Krishna katha. And I was like, I was thinking of it like a big cup of some drink, you know. like some people are addicted to coffee or something. They have to have coffee and cream and all this stuff. And it's Krishna katha. It almost sounds like, I wanted that drink of Krishna katha. But that's how it is. It's described that it's like a drink. It's a beverage. You drink it up. So by hearing about Krishna and his pastimes, by celebrating Janmashtami, and the Vyasa Puja was even more sweet. It comes, you know, one day after the next, by glorifying devotees, by glorifying Krishna, by being the associate. What an effect, indelible effect. Don't you you feel it after the Janmashtami, right? You'll never be the same. You were there. You saw that scene when everyone came together to glorify Krishna. There were plays about Krishna. There were dances about Krishna. All those things are stuck in my mind now. I can't get them out. and happily so. And the emotion of all the devotees chanting together. You know those few times in the kirtan during the night when it just reached a peak and you could see everyone standing in line, just they couldn't contain themselves anymore? There was some, the vibration reached such a pitch. That stays in you. That's in there. It's not coming out. And so that's why I said in the beginning, pour the milk, pour the milk. You keep pouring the milk and the vibration goes in and it has its effect. And the effect is unimaginable. In fact, truly, it's unimaginable. Sanatana Goswami says that even the most exalted devotees of the Lord cannot imagine the extent of which Krishna rewards the devotee in devotional service. And that's part of the verse here is that the Dr. Frog philosophy of the material world. Oh, it can't be that great. It's the scarcity mentality. It's the victim mentality of the material world. Oh, it's been done, everything's been done to me, and I can't do anything because I'm broke, you know. But the devotees don't think like that. Even if they don't have money, they wander freely in the world because they know Krishna is supplying everything. And they're never the victim. They always take responsibility. You know, I can't do service because they're doing it wrong, you know. Or whatever it is, whatever the excuse is, this is not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service, this is the mentality of the material world. It's the dark cave dweller mentality. It's the first article I read in the Back to Godhead magazine. It was by Hayagriva, and it was about liberation of the cave dwellers by Socrates. And I so much related to it because I was sitting in my room meditating and doing all these things. I read the Back to Godhead magazine, and I was just thinking about how the whole material world is a big cave. And everyone in it, because I became so interested in spiritual life, and none of my friends were interested. They wanted to go off and do this and that. And I was thinking, can't you see it? Can't you see it? It's right in front of you. I'd look at the sun and say, where is that thing? You know, where'd it come from? Where'd I come from? And they were like, let's go play. And I when I read Liberation of the Cave Dwellers, I thought, this is appropriate. So appropriate. So Krishna comes and he sends his representatives to inform us that there's a world beyond this one that, you know, you can't imagine it or you can't see it with your fleshy eyes. You have to hear about it from the right source. It comes down to you like someone brings in that ray of light into the cave to try to show you what it's like, what the sun is like, and then gradually takes you outside and introduces you to the world of light outside. So that's what we're getting introduced to. And it's always increasing. It always gets better. And there's no limit to this kind of service that we can do in the association of the devotees. And this is the real life of devotional service. Go pray marande aribo. Hare Krishna.